Well, it's my privilege to be with you tonight. Because, I'll give you a reason, the Bible says that we have 70 to enjoy on the face of the earth. And right now, I'm on borrowed time, like 13 years over. So it's a privilege to be with you, each and every one of you. I enjoy what the Lord is doing in our midst. I appreciate the song, ladies, very much. I certainly ask the Lord on my borrowed time, would he please make the most of it? Or may I make the most of it? So tonight, I want to look at a word called complacency. Complacency. And with it, I want to look at being faithful. Complacency. I probably will look at three little areas there. One will be, as we look at it, the receiving deposit of revival. Stirring up. Number two will be stirring up of our spiritual seed. Number three will be, what is burning in my spirit? What is burning in my spirit? I'd like to use an analogy, if you would allow me to. It's probably taken place over the last 6 months. It has to do with the building, a building. We run a little daycare up there in the northeast of New Hampshire. And the only thing that we have going for us in New Hampshire is that we're the first state in the youth that has it for any candidates to vote for the president. We are the first voting place. All right. So as little as we are, we get two delegate votes. So that shows you how small we really are. But I want to look at this thing about a building. We have a little child care center. And consequently, at any given time, the state which licensed us can come in and give an inspection. And so I was told they were coming in one day, and I was very complacent about it. I said, oh, well, everything's under control. So they came in, and, you know, I have a problem with these people that come in because they sit in their desk and they think of things that they can find wrong. And so and they came. Come to find out, they didn't like a building we had because underneath it was a 3.5-inch gap. And they said, that building is going to have to come down. And I said in my spirit, you are ridiculous. You come in here and telling me that in 3.5 inches, a child can crawl in there and disappear. You know, 3.5 inches, look at it. And they're saying, take it down. And so, you know, my spirit really didn't like that too much. And so I had to go back to something. As soon as I got a little riled in my spirit, I said, here I go again. Here I go again. I said, Lord, please, please. So I want to quote a little verse, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And so they were giving me instruction in the natural. They were saying, this building will have to go. And you know, sometimes our spirit gets a little angry. You know, even at 83, you know, I'm sure none of your spirits ever get angry or get stirred up, but it is possible, all right? It is possible. And so I want to give you another little verse in Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So we want to rule our spirit, because the Lord has been speaking something to my own heart, and it's found over there in Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. Woe to them that are ease in Zion. woe to them that are at ease in Zion. If I might say that, if you allow me to, it's being that we can become complacent. We can become complacent in how far we've come. We can become complacent in our spiritual building that we inhabit, which would be our spirit. And I believe the Lord has something far more for us. We'll get to it. You know, it's like Pastor Justin Cruft said the other day, where's the steak? You know, so I'm just giving out a couple appetizers right now. You know, later on we'll look at the steak. So if you're wondering what's going on, I want to lay the groundwork for this building, because this is where the Lord has spoken to me to share. So we're going to look at it. You know, in the world today, we have some facts that we have to contend with churches. We have churches that they're very church conscious. They're very mission conscious. And they grow and they grow. But there's one thing that they're missing. They're missing being God conscious. And so they're very complacent in the number of people that they have. They're very complacent in their outreach. They're very complacent in what they're doing, but they don't know something. They're like Herod's temple. You know Herod's temple. It was very large, beautiful. It had a lot of religious activity. But they were missing something. They were missing the Spirit of God. And the only time that happened is when our Lord Jesus was 8 days old. He came in the temple. And then again, they had something of the Spirit of God when he came in at age 12. And again, they had something of the Spirit of God when he came in and throughout the money changers. But the last one was the most important one. It's when he gave up the Spirit and the veil was rent in two. That was the end. But as far as having any knowledge of being God conscious, it was not there. So I want to look at number one, receiving a deposit of the Spirit. Receiving a deposit of the Spirit. This is found in Psalm 87, verse 5. Psalm 87, verse 5. And of Zion it is said, this and that man was born in her, and the higher himself shall establish her. You know, it's so important that we have a spiritual deposit put in our spirit of revival. You can't say Zion if there's anything in your spirit, because it connects with revival. And we need to have a deposit. We need to have a spiritual deposit that goes beyond the intellect. It goes beyond the understanding of the message of Zion. It's a spiritual deposit that goes down in our spirit, and it comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. And one thing we have to understand, God is the one who gives impartation, and he is the one who rejects it. So God is the one who gives revelation. And so when we need to receive a deposit, it comes from heaven. And we need to be very, very thankful that our Heavenly Father would choose any of us to put a spiritual deposit within us that has to do with the message of Zion and it has to do with revival. You know, we want to look at this because I feel there's something that the Lord wants to say to us, that some churches, and I was listening to the missionaries speaking, how the message is there, but there's no understanding. And I said, Lord, I've been traveling for a long time. I first heard about revival in 1968. There was a deposit in my spirit, revival. And again, there was renewal back in 1983. There was another deposit in my spirit of revival. And then now it's present, this thing that God has deposited within me is there. And now I want to go back to this building, if you would allow me to, so we can understand where we're going. When the building was destroyed, we had to come up with a new one. Now, in order to get a new one, the people that wanted to make it for us said, you have to give us a deposit. So I said, well, how much is that? And so they came down and said, well, if you give us a deposit, then we will start to make this building for you. And we'll give you a discount if you let us put this building up the 1st of March. Now, we're in New Hampshire, and the 1st of March, we have a foot and a half of snow on the ground. This is not when you want to come in and put a building. And so I said, well, $1,000 off? March the 1st, I signed it and sent a deposit in, so that we'll do that, all right? And so then what happened, I began to wonder, Lord, did I do the right thing? Where am I going to put a building up with a foot and a half of snow? And we got to wonder about it because, you know, there was something else involved, and we'll get to that. In the meantime, they sent something more to us, and they said, we would like to have a foundation. So when we come with a building, we will have something to put it on. And they gave me what they wanted for the foundation. We want so many feet this way, we want so many that way, we want so much of granite stone this way. And I said, well, snow, I better do a better job. So with it, I went with the foundation, and I made a second layer. So there it was. And then, just so we can get what's going on, with the foundation, there has to be a covering. Because I had to put a cover over it because it was going to snow. And if it kept snowing, it would ruin the foundation. And I had the foundation. We have engineers in our church. You know, I don't know what they do with me, but the engineers are all the brains. And I have to ask them what to do. And so I said, would you please come and level that out? So when they come in, it will be nice and smooth. So they did. We put a cover on it, and it snowed. 132 inches or whatever. Time went by, and it came time for March 1st for the shed. And what I did not know is that the shed was made, or the building was made off the city, probably 40 miles away. And they put it together, or they made it there. So I assumed that I would see this building come around the gym, and they put skidders on it, and they would just slide it on the foundation. That's what I assumed. But what happened is that when the day came for them to bring the building, New Hampshire received some southern temperatures, and it was 70 degrees. 70 degrees in the 1st of March. And here they came. I said, what are they doing? They had this big truck, and on the back of it was a flatbed, and on the back of the flatbed was all this material. I said, what are they doing? They said, we have come to build your building. I thought I was going to get this pre-made and just going to come in and put on it. You know, there's a reason why this happened. There was five of them. They got out of the truck. And I'm very curious about this, and I want to stand and look at what's going on here. And so next thing I know, they hooked up a compressor. And the next thing I know, they went over, they measured the foundation because 70 degrees, the top of the snow disappeared. It was very nice. They said, oh, you did a good job. I said, I did. It was somebody else that did it. So the building went up before my eyes, right before my eyes. The building went up, and 4 hours later, the foundation, the floor, right on the foundation, the floor, and then, you know, the walls. Well, I want to look at a little verse about the walls, right? Psalm 51, verse 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, or build thou the walls of the church. The walls of the church have got to be built on a firm foundation. And the foundation has got to have a covering. And the covering we want to have is the Heavenly Father's. So the deposit of what is inside of us is for us to take and know that something new is happening. I want to lay this out as we go along. The building didn't come pre-made. The building came in material pieces. These men each had a particular job to do, and they knew what each one could do. And so they put the floor down, put the walls up, and the door. And the Lord spoke to me about the door. He said, you know, I want to be the door. And sometimes we think we're the door. Pastors, we want people's attention to us. That's a big mistake, because we know who the door is. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord said, some of my people, and you're speaking to me too, make sure you're not the door. Make sure ministry, gifts, prophecies, whatever you want to say, that you are not drawing the attention to you, that you are the door. That is not what God is building. That is not what God is building, the deposit that he has put in us. We want to be very, very careful when the Lord speaks to us about that, all right? When we're building walls, we have Bible school students, we have pastors, you know very well what I'm speaking about now. Walls in the tabernacle of Moses, when it was time to put up the sanctuary, they went from the outer court into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, where the sanctuary was. They had to put up walls. And the walls had boards. That's what you and I are. We are boards in the Lord's building. Boards. But you know, sometimes boards think that they can stand alone. They don't need any fivefold ministry. They don't need someone telling them where their place is in the body of Christ. That is a huge mistake. A board cannot stand up alone. It will fall down. If the winds come, and winds speak of spirits. So here we feel that we have come to the place where we have arrived. We are complacent. I've been in enough businesses over my lifetime to know that no matter what job you have, there's a boss over you. And when you don't know what you're doing, you ask them. So that's the same way with the fivefold ministry. We need the fivefold ministry because it has to do with the perfecting. You know, I think sometimes I was hearing the song that was being sung, and I said, well, Lord, I understand that. What do you build your walls with? Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, this is what God builds walls with. When fivefold ministry comes and they speak to us, and they say, this is what I feel God wants you to do. Rise up, our spirit. Don't tell me. I've been in the ministry 40 years. Don't tell me where I belong and what I'm supposed to do. Complacent. God doesn't build walls with complacent spirits. He builds walls with broken and contrite spirits. We can have ministry. We can have fruitful ministry. But the truth of the matter is, God is going to build a church on a foundation that the walls are going to be built by the fivefold ministry that will hold the boards together. And we will have a broken and contrite spirit because that is what God builds with. And I said, Lord, I really understand why you had me hanging around a little bit. I was one hard-nosed piece of granite. Granite comes from New Hampshire. It's hard like rock. Right? And I felt if I was right and I had the mind of the Lord, I would go through it like a bull in the china closet. Boom! I'm right. This is what the Lord said. There wasn't any broken and contrite spirit with that. It was, I know my place in the body. I don't need to have anybody tell me where I belong. I want to look at number two, all right? Stirring up of the spiritual seed. Stirring up of the spiritual seed. God gives us something. Stirring up of the spiritual seed. Well, Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. You know, stir up. Wherefore, put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here is a deposit. We received a deposit. Now God is building a new, and you allow me to say that, he's building a new church on a different foundation. The truths are always the same. The doctrines are the same. But we need to have the old foundation that we built on ourselves and it's crumbled. It's old, like that building was old. And they said, get rid of it. And God is interested in foundations. And we are to stir up the gift, the deposit of revival that God has given us. We can't be complacent and say, oh, well, we'll praise the Lord, we'll have some good services, we'll have some good words, and we'll hear about revival. And when it comes, we'll be in it. When it comes, you'll be outside looking in instead of on the inside looking out. We are to stir up. Paul was speaking to him, stir up. Well, I mentioned before, I've been waiting. And the Lord brought back to my remembrance of stirring up my spirit. He said, you know, Moses, I put a deposit in his spirit to bring the children out of Egypt of Canaan. And he got to the place where he could see, but he never entered in. And I know why, and so do you know why. Because some of the troops stirred up his spirit, and he got lost his spirit, he got angry, and did something he wasn't supposed to do. Consequently, he wasn't able to enter in. Then we have our mentor, Pastor Bailey. The Lord spoke to him when he was in England to come to the USA and the ministry of preparing for revival. And I would hold his hands and I'd look him right in the eye and say, Dad, you're going to see with those eyes revival. Held right on to him. Eyeball to eyeball. I was so sure. The end isn't over yet, but the Lord took them both. They're in heaven. But I'm here. You're here. And it's time for us to have our spirits stirred up. I think sometimes we have to understand. Not everybody hears that message. I'm going to say something very sad, but it's true. Someone passing through the halls of here at school made a statement, all I'm hearing is revival, 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 revival. I'm tired of hearing revival. Well, I'll tell you what, there was no deposit of the Holy Spirit there. It can happen. All right? Well, now is the time. For the church. Now is the time. I believe that after that little inspection we had, it came unexpectedly. And the Lord starts to inspect us. I said, Lord, you have the right to inspect my heart. I've changed my way of thinking because I don't know if I'm going to go up tonight, tomorrow, or when, and neither do you. But I've changed my way of thinking. I take time to go in front of the mercy seat and quiet myself down so that I can hear the voice of the Lord, what he is saying. I want to hear what he is saying. I've quieted myself down. I've learned something. You have to wait. But if we could never get our heart to go beyond the veil and start praying for revival, and get it stirred up so that we can sit before the presence of God and let him speak to us from the mercy seat. You know, the mercy seat means a lot to me because when I was younger, I made rash decisions and I never counted the end of the matter. Then I found out about mercy. And if I don't understand and thank God for his mercy, then I am unfit for the building that he is building now. Without mercy, I don't qualify. So mercy, if I could say this, The only reason I stand in front of you is because of the mercy that God has given me. I understand it. And I also understand without mercy, vessels of mercy, we are unfit for the building that God is giving. Well, I want to look at another verse in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 down through 14. Titus chapter 2, 11 down through 14. This has to do with stirring up. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope that the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify with himself a peculiar people to be zealous of God's good works. To be zealous of God's good works. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, there's a question that we're asked. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which we have of God, and we are not our own? For we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Spirit. God is interested in stirring up our spirit. He's interested in owning our spirit. We could be in assembly tonight. We can be in body. But our spirit can be anywhere. You could have traveled all the way to Africa and back by now in your spirit. Or God owns our spirit and it says, I want to speak something to you. God has paid the price. Our precious Lord Jesus has paid the price. And he wants to move in our spirit. And this building that I was speaking about has to do with our spirit. God is interested in our spirit. And so here we have it. And I'm saying, Lord, it's you and only you. And I believe that there's another little point here I want to get at. And then we're going to tie it all together. God has a set time for restoration. In Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Verse 1. There was a stirring up. King Cyrus. His spirit was stirred up. There was a set time. There was a set time that the Lord had them to build a new building again. The old one was torn down. And so the Lord stirred up the heart of the king to build his house. And I believe the Lord is stirring up our hearts, that the Lord is building a new house. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. But I want to look at the next little verse, verse 5. Verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, Benjamin, and the priests and Levites with all them whose spirit God raised up to go up to build the house of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem. So not only was there a stirring up, raising up of the king's spirit, secular, but the people were given an opportunity. The people were given an opportunity. And the question we ask is, Lord, can I be one to go up in restoring your church? Lord, can I be one to go and build your church. I'm not talking about a building that you see with your eyes. I'm talking about the spiritual church that God is on the throne in his throne room, getting ready for us. The word comes out. Will we be one? Let's refresh our pure minds. When the time came for them to leave, there was complacency. Not everybody was willing to leave out of captivity. And you know why? Because they had found out how to survive in spiritual dryness. We are going through spiritual dryness. And we have found out how to survive. Sad but true. Now here comes the Spirit of God to stir up the spirits, to stir us up, to speak to us. Zion, believers, saints, I'm building a new church. You want to go? You want to be one? Well, I don't have any discernment. And when you don't have any discernment, you make wrong choices. So the ones that stayed didn't have any discernment. And the ones whose spirits had been stirred up, raised up by God, they went. And they were involved. And we know the history. But I'm just putting it down now as this building. I want to relate back to this building, if you would allow me to. Let's be very clear. Here they were in captivity. God comes and puts the Spirit in some of them to raise them up. Where did it come from? The people that stayed in captivity had an intellectual understanding of what was happening. But there had been no impartation of the Spirit in them as to what was going to take place in Jerusalem. It just wasn't there. So they stayed. That's the same way with us. We just don't want to have an intellectual understanding of what's happening. We want to have something imparted into our spirit that will cause us to want to be part of the building of the church that God is doing. Now I want to look at the last part. What is burning in my spirit? What is burning in my spirit? Let's go back. I put a down payment. They said, we're going to give you a building. I want to lay it out for us. God is putting a building together, piece by piece. That's you and that's I. It's myself. He's putting together behind that we don't see. He's putting this building together, piece by piece. Whether we qualify or don't qualify will depend upon our response to the Spirit of God. We don't see the building yet, but I'll tell you where the building is. The building is happening in the throne room. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just like it was before the world. They know what the building is to be. They know this spiritual church and they know the foundation. We understand the foundation. We've been taught. And we need to have a new foundation. This is why we have teachers of righteousness with the call of God on their life, so that they can build walls on the foundation. But the truth of the matter is, the pieces of the church are being determined now in the throne room. And so I want to look at this last little issue here. What is burning in my spirit? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power may be of God and not of us. What power? What power are they talking about? What power? The power. You know, when we're humans, we can fall into an easy controlling spirit. We want to control people. And if you're like me, you have to have your spirit soften when somebody comes on strong and they just want to control you. Right? You're more than willing to do what they want you to do, but their spirit is so strong they want to control you. Right? So this isn't what we're talking about with the power. What we're talking about is found over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. We're talking about the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, that is stronger than the power of hell and death. This is the power, resurrected power, that God, if you allow me to say this, that God wants to put in his church of the last day, something we've never seen before. We haven't experienced that resurrecting power that raised Christ from the dead. He wants to put it in his church. He wants to put it on the foundation that he is building. And you say, brother, I'll tell you what, I'll stay where I am. You want to take that message? You take it. But as for me, I'm going to stay in Babylon. I'm going to stay right where I've learned to survive with spiritual drought. But I want you to know something. As for me, there's been something deposited in my spirit that tells me that God is going to do something in the church that we haven't experienced yet. And I want you to know, something burns inside of my spirit that says, it's that resurrected power. God wants to deposit. It's not the intellect. It's not mental understanding. It's something that comes from heaven, that God puts inside each one of us who he feels has a heart to be like him. Resurrecting power, right? Let's look at it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's heart desire, that I may know him. And we all have read this, have said it, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I understand those things. But, you know, inside of me, what Paul wanted to do, and Peter and the rest of the disciples, they wanted to experience the resurrecting power that they saw happen in front of their eyes. Christ rose up, and that same resurrecting power is going to be available to us. Oh, how we will turn the world upside down when we burn within our very spirits. We want to have the same thing that the disciples walked the face of the earth, even to the point, if I may say so. Oh, I understand. Teachers of righteousness, we need to saturate nations, but I'll tell you what we need to send them with. We need to send them with the word, and we need to send them with the resurrecting power that's inside So signs and wonders will follow the teaching of the word. This is what God is building behind the scenes. It's on his heart. It's on my heart. It was on the heart of Pastor Bailey. He prayed that God would show his resurrected power in the fellowship. He wanted to see it. Now, I want to look at one more verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. If that spirit which dwells in us, we have a right to come before the mercy seat. Go beyond the veil with our prayers. Lay ourselves down before the mercy seat. Say, Heavenly Father, you said that if that spirit that raised you up from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken. What is it going to quicken? We are right at the entrance of something far beyond we've ever received. And I want to bring it together so you can understand the burning in our spirit. The day came when March the 1st, and they said, you will receive that building March the 1st, like it or not. You're under contract. Boom. March 1st, there it came. Boom. Wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting something all done, put together. Oh, nice. But I watched something. I watched each person. They knew their place. They put that building together because each one knew what they were supposed to do. And it fit together like this. Boom. This one was prepared before they left. He knew what he was going to do. And the other one was prepared before he left. He knew what he was going to do. And the five of them, when they got to the job site, they put it together and they accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish on the appointed time. Now, you know, in the natural, when there's conception and life between union and communion, the mother, is the baby moving yet? Is there any life? Oh, there's life. Honey, put your hand on my tummy. I feel something. Life. Oh, it doesn't stop there. They want that baby to be healthy. They want that baby to have everything it's supposed to have. They go to the doctors and they check that little heartbeat out. Doom, 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 doom. Oh, the heartbeat is getting stronger. It's there. You want to hear it? Yeah, give me the stethoscope. I heard it. I said, oh, my baby's alive. Healthy. You know, it's the same way in the spirit. That's what we're going through. God is checking our heartbeat. Because he knows where he's going to put us in his house. And just as sure as the appointed time came for March the 1st, so is the appointed time going to come when there's going to be release from heaven. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. We might be thinking one thing, and God's going to bring something different. And God help us to have discernment to know what he's doing. So we are used to having him speak to us from the mercy seat to say, this is what I want you to do. He's checking our heartbeat spiritually. get before him and let that spiritual stethoscope check your heart. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to close. Here's why. Just as sure in the natural, when they came and they put those pieces together, they all fit, except I was watching. Except there were some pieces, if they didn't fit right, they would do it. They had the compressor, they had it. They would take it so it would fit, and if it wasn't used, they threw it aside. They didn't use it. Now, here comes the Lord. Here comes the Lord. He's working with me. He's working with you on that spiritual impartation he's put in your spirit. We know that there's something new coming. We know that the church is going to come out through gloriously without spot or wrinkle. We know that. But what's going on in our heart before the throne room, mercy seat, is another thing. That is where we have to submit. And if we don't, this is what's going to happen. God help us. When the time comes and the Lord puts his church together, we can be like a child. 9 months, fully developed. Everything's there. But when the child was born, it was a stillborn. No life. When God manifests his building, his house, we don't want to make it all the way up to the time of endurance. Some of us have been waiting for revival for years. Years. And in my heart, I said, Lord, 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 please, please don't let me go my own way. I want to be like you. I want to have life. When this manifestation of the resurrected power comes in the church, I want to have life. I don't want to be a stillborn. What a disappointment. Please forgive me if someone's gone through other experience. Please forgive me. What a disappointment when we expect to have something. And the expectancy has gone on for a long time. And then when the time of arrival comes, we don't fit in. The Lord said, I can't fit you in. You don't fit. Why don't I fit? Because you wouldn't allow me. You wouldn't allow me to work in areas of your heart. And especially, folks, I want you to know, fivefold ministry comes from the Lord. It's for the perfecting of the saints. And if we want to be fitly joined together, God is putting the pieces together. And the day will come when he will manifest his church. And it's shortly to happen. There's an appointed time. And on that appointed time, it will happen. And I trust every one of us will say, Lord, I want to fit in. I want to fit in that new building that you're building. I want my place. Let us fitly be joined together by the strength of the hand of our Heavenly Father. I lay it down. A deposit. Then we have a stirring up of that deposit. Then we have that burning within us, that we want to be recipients of the resurrected power that hasn't happened to the church yet. But we're going to receive it. I want you to know we're going to receive it. We're going to receive it. We're going to receive it. I want my place. I want my place in that manifestation of the power of God. I want my place. I want my place. I want to have life. Let's pray.